Wine Dark Sea, written by Patrick O'Brien and read by Rick Jarrow.
Chapter 1. A purple ocean, vast under the sky and devoid of all visible life, apart from two minute ships racing across its immensity. They were as close-hauled to the somewhat irregular northeast trades as ever they could be, with every sail they could safely carry, and even more, their bowlines twanging taut. They had been running like this day after day, sometimes so far apart that each saw only the other's topsails above the horizon, sometimes within gunshot, and when this was the case, they fired at one another with their chasers. The foremost ship was the Franklin, an American privateer of 22 guns, 9-pounders, and her pursuer was the Surprise, a 28-gun frigate formerly belonging to the Royal Navy, but now acting as a privateer too, manned by privateersmen and volunteers. She was nominally commanded by a half-pay officer named Thomas Pullings, but, in fact, by her former captain, Jack Aubrey, a man much higher on the post-captain's list than would ordinarily have been found in so small and antiquated a ship. An anomalous craft entirely, for although she purported to be a privateer, her official, though unpublished status, was that of His Majesty's hired vessel, Surprise. She had set out on her voyage with the purpose of carrying her surgeon, Stephen Maturin, to South America, there to enter into contact with those leading inhabitants who wished to make Chile and Peru independent of Spain. For Maturin, as well as being a doctor of medicine, was an intelligence agent exceptionally well qualified for this task, being a Catalan on his mother's side and bitterly opposed to Spanish, that is to say, Castilian, oppression of his country. He was indeed opposed to oppression in all its forms, and in his youth he had supported the United Irishmen. His father was a Catholic Irish officer in the Spanish service, in everything but the violence of 1798. But above all, far above all, he abhorred that of Bonaparte, and he was perfectly willing to offer his services to the British government to help put an end to it, to offer them gratis pro deo, thus doing away with any hint of the odious name of spy, a vile wretch hired by the ministry to inform upon his friends, a name associated in his Irish childhood with that of Judas. Spy Wednesday coming just before the Passion. His present undertaking, resumed after a long interruption caused by the traitorous passing of information from London to Madrid, gave him the greatest satisfaction. For its success would not only weaken the two oppressors, but it would also cause extreme anger and frustration in a particular department of French intelligence that was trying to bring about the same result, though with the difference that the independent South American governments should feel loving and strategically valuable gratitude towards Paris rather than London. He had had many causes for satisfaction since they left the Polynesian island of Oahu in pursuit of the Franklin. One was that the American had chosen to rely on her remarkable powers of sailing very close to the wind on a course that was leading them directly towards his destination. Another was that, although her sailing master, an old Pacific hand from Nantucket, handled her with uncommon skill, doing everything in his power to run clear or shake off his pursuer by night, neither his guile nor his seamanship could outmatch Aubrey's. If the Franklin slipped a raft over the side in the darkness, lighting lanterns upon it, dowsing her own and changing course, she found the Surprise in her wake when the day broke clear, for Jack Aubrey had the same instinct, the same sense of timing, and a far greater experience of war.